And our special guest this hour, Linda Salvin, and we're going to take your phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Linda Salvin with us, of course. We'll get to your calls in just a second here. So when you had these three near-death experiences, all of them really earth-shattering for you, did you think at any point, I'm dead, I'm gone?
I did. I couldn't believe I was alive. George, I became very agoraphobic at one point where I was afraid to go out because I really felt like Chicken Little, like the sky was falling. Every time I stood up, I got knocked over. I didn't understand. I was afraid to go to sleep because I didn't want to wake up. I couldn't go to sleep. It was a pattern. It was a cycle. It was anxiety. It was fear like I've never experienced. It was, you know, you think going through near-death experiences, oh, my God, I'm alive. I should just go out and raise hell and have a good time and love everybody. The thoughts are there, but the paralysis that takes place because of the fear, and it's much like a soldier coming back from war with the post-traumatic stress disorder. It's so big that you don't believe it has happened, and the mind can't comprehend it. I stood in that playing field at John Wayne Airport staring at the plane on its belly and thinking, I just survived a plane crash. Okay, it's one thing to say it. Everybody's listening to me say it. But at the moment when it goes from what just happened to acknowledging it to absorbing it and then the repercussions.
I mean, yeah, you did it. You went through it.
I went through it. Most people don't survive plane crashes. They don't. You know that. This probability is nil compared to what statistics show. But to go through that kind of stress and fear, and it's the days after. It's like anytime we hear of plane crashes now and people walk away, it's like I always want to reach out and contact them and help them because the trauma that they're going to go through, I understand.
Oh, my gosh. Your whole nervous system is shot.
Everything is shot. And I think that's what ignites the psychic part of the brain that connects to that higher power. I think we're forced to go outside our body to see what the universe is really about. I don't think it's a psychological thing. I don't think it's just the mind. I really don't think it's in just the psychiatric field or the neurological field. I believe that there's something more because I've experienced it. If I heard somebody telling my story, I'd think she'd be a wacko, but I've lived this. I have lived it. My background's epidemiology. That's the study of epidemics and diseases. It was preventative medicine. To go from research to from medicine to metaphysics, that's a long jump.
Sure it is. What do you do, Linda? And have you ever had someone come up to you and say, I don't believe the other side exists. I think when you die, that's it.
Don't think that there's life after death.
Nope.
I said, well, you don't have to believe, but you'll see when you get there. And sometimes people who are agnostic or atheist or don't believe in life after death, as they're dying or getting sick, all of a sudden they start to change their tune. And all of a sudden they're starting to either see light or they might have a visitation from a deceased relative or a friend or even a pet. The dog shows up. Something happens where they're getting glimpses of, like, there's more. This is just a journey. This is just a little portion of the ride. You know, we're all reincarnated time and time again. We've all been men. We've all been women. We come back to learn different lessons and whatever we're supposed to learn and accomplish. But those that don't believe that there's more, that's okay, because once they get there, they will learn. And what I've learned is that the more spiritual we evolve in our lifetime now as human beings, the easier and higher we go when we transfer over to the other side. So there's different levels, like school, whether it's kindergarten, first to third, maybe junior high, high school, college. We ascend at different levels depending on our growth in this lifetime. And I believe that one of our challenges is to really open up and grow spiritually. And it does not have anything to do with religion. I'm Jewish, but I had a Christ awakening after the plane crash. Okay. So it doesn't mean I'm Christian. It's just I understand that there's different things. Like when I was in Thailand, I saw Buddhas, okay? But I didn't see a Star of David, and I didn't see a cross. So it's like the whole world is made up of icons to believe in something bigger. And that's why he said that poem about the butterfly. It's simple. God can be as simple as a butterfly. There's something out there that we all gravitate and seek and question. And then there's those that say, no, it doesn't exist. And I was like, well, how do you know? Well, how do you not know? Well, you'll know when you get there. I've seen so much from the other side, George, that I have to believe. I don't make this stuff up. I have clients that come back for more. I've got testimonials that I'm writing a book about, the channeling I've done through the years called Explaining the Unexplainable. I'm halfway through this book. And I read these testimonials. I'm like, how did I do all this? I don't even know how I do it. I don't. It just...
That's where the magic comes in.
That's the spirit that goes beyond your body and my body. We are beings, and we have spirit. It's something that goes outside our body. It's an energy field, whatever you want to call it. But I choose to call it there's a God, and I'm not God, and you're not God. But there's something out there that makes all this work in sync.
The rest of the hour, we're going to take phone calls here with Linda. So we shall begin with our first-time caller, Ryan, in San Francisco. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Hi, Ryan.
So I just had a question for the doctor, and I guess I was wondering, like, do you know, like, what it's like to hear this sort of stuff for the very first time? Like, it's really nuts.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I'm just wondering if you knew what that felt like.
I just said that. I just said if I hadn't lived it, I wouldn't believe it either, but I've lived it. And you're in San Francisco. I went to San Francisco State and got my bachelor's in 1975. And back then, when I was at State, this was not a part of my vocabulary.
What is it then, Linda? At what point does it kick in? And does that feeling of, this is nuts, this is crazy, at what point?
I'm beyond it. The first 7-8 years, maybe. Let's put it this way. I ran for 12 years, so from 1981 to 1992 at least. I didn't start my psychic work until 1993, I think it was. Oh, 1992, I got on Psychic Friends Network with Dionne Warwick, and was in the infomercial.
They gotcha.
I was in the infomercial. Yeah, I was in the infomercial. And then after that, I got onto K-Big Radio here in L.A., and that's when it all started. But it started in 1981, but I didn't embrace it till the 90s. I didn't believe in it, and I ran from it, but it caught up with me, that I had to take care of it, or else, I mean, it didn't leave me alone.
All right, let's go to Kara now in the state of Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Kara.
Hi. I'm just calling to see what the future is for the job market.
What's the future for the job market?
For you personally or people in general in the United States?
Well, probably for me personally.
That's what I thought. I don't think you want me to read the country. For you personally, it feels like that you're going through some changes right now, and around October, November, you're going to be offered something new, or there's a new opportunity coming, that by February your finances are going to start to turn around because they've been really bumpy the last 6-8 months. But you're coming into a more stable time, and I don't know if you're actually changing careers or you're taking on something else, but it looks like around the fall you're going to be making decisions and embracing something new.
How about that? Now, how do you know this?
It's like I've been trying to say all hour. I don't know. It's just a feeling. When I heard your voice, I just got the impression. I'm really good at telling time. James von Prague says psychics can't tell time, and I'm one of those that do tell time. I get a feeling inside my gut that if I look at, like, okay, here we are, July, August, September, October, November. Nope, it's October, because something gets stuck inside me. So I know that I have to take this woman's question up to a certain point in time, and then the prediction will probably happen.
Pretty good. Let's go to Chris in Dayton, Ohio.
Hey,
Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Chris.
My call. Thank you. Linda, I, like you, have come close to dying a couple of times. I know I shot at my body once. And what I was wondering is if, are you there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Listening.
Okay, I thought I lost you. Anyway, I got so quiet, I thought maybe I lost your phone call. But I know what it's like to leave the body and several times and having a fear of what's going to happen next. What I'd like to know is, do you feel like I'm a walk-in now? Especially that one time, I know I shot out like a cannon. But I wasn't too happy when I came back. So I can't
answer that. You have to answer it for yourself. I'm not sensing the walk-in energy with you. I'm getting
out of
body.
Should I be doing something with this that I have now, the gift
I've been Wait. I don't understand what you're asking. You're asking too many questions, and I got to go slow so I can hear it from your spirit guides, because
okay.
I hear the voice, and then it reverberates, and I get answers. So first you want to know if you're a walk-in. I don't sense the walk-in energy with you. You don't have that hype that I pick up. I've met walk-ins, and we've had unbelievable conversations. I don't think that's what's happened to you. I think you have had out-of-body experiences. I do feel that you've been tapped to awaken spiritually, but I'm not sure you're on the right path knowing what to do with what's happened to you. I think you're still kind of confused as to why, but you don't know where to go.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not sure what direction they want me to take with this.
Well, I can help you with that off the air. You just listen to George, and he'll tell you how to reach me later.
You've got a special toll-free number, too, don't you?
Oh, I do. Can I give it out?
Yeah, would you, please? That'll help a lot of people.
Okay. People can reach me at 888-509-1077. That's 888-509-1077, and I'll help you off the air in a private consultation. But you're floundering, and you're like where I was back in the 80s, where it's happened, but it's still fragmented. You don't know how to focus it.
No, we don't. But you have to learn that. So focus is critical, isn't it?
It's a big part of it. And I mean, we all have to focus in our jobs and our lives. But when it comes to the spiritual side, it's integrating, like I said earlier, how to live a spiritual life with all this stuff in a very physical, material world, where most people think we're crazy, like the first guy, Ryan, who called in from San Francisco, thinks it's wacko. It is. It sounds wacko if you're not used to spiritual talk or metaphysics or to understand how the world works. You know, Carl Jung was the first person to define synchronicity. And when you see how everything works in sync and you're part of it, then it starts to make sense. But until you experience it and open up, people are lost. I get to turn on the light. I get to open that door and get them on their path with a flashlight and say, this is how it works.
That's the best way to do it. Next up, let's take a few more calls before the break. We've got Mary in Arkansas on the wild card line. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi,
Mary.
Hi, Linda.
Howdy. Go ahead.
Hi. Linda, I was just wondering, I'm going to change my question here while I was listening. Can you tell me why Spirit allows us to feel the fear or doubt when we're first, or not maybe even first, but realizing maybe we're meant to help others or be a light worker or do his will?
Yes, because it's new and you're human, and the doubt makes you stronger because you're going to walk through it anyway and overcome that fear. I walked through tremendous fear through the three accidents that took a good decade of my life away from me. But because I was willing to face it eventually, and the time that it took for me to achieve the adversity, to overcome the adversity, my fears became less and my strength heightened. The more I depended on God and that thing out there, the stronger I became and more independent I became. The same with you. If you're doubting because you're questioning, do you really have the gift or the tool or the knowledge or the wisdom to help somebody else? But something you've been through, Mary, somebody else needs to hear about.
Yes,
was it cancer or some sickness? Did you go through some disease?
Not disease, but just a lot of tragedy.
Okay.
A lot of tragedy.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you. How many people come to you for personal advice or advice about their departed ones?
I would say that 20% come to me for channeling, which is communicating with a lost love or family member, and 80% come from money, love, moving, travel, health, communication, spiritual growth, and direction in life. More people want to know what's going to happen. And I'm very much a now reader, so I can give predictions for the first 3 to 6 months. I don't like to make predictions for 5 years. Too much time goes by with life, and I'm lucky I can read the very near future. the people that come to me for the channeling and the communication on the other side, since I'm off the radio right now, I don't have that marketing or whatever to let people know that I'm available. So that's kind of calmed down a little bit, but I get people from Australia and England and Italy and New Zealand and all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, Thailand, Japan, Singapore, for all the same questions everybody has, and for the channeling and for the healing and for the candles. And I can't really say what percentage, because not everybody needs channeling. I have one woman that I channeled for her son who committed suicide, hung himself back in 1997. And as I was putting my book together this year, I found her testimony. And she called me in February of this year, 13 years later, she called me out of the blue. And I told her I was working on the book and that chapter. And I had brought in her son, and her son was talking about an elephant, a basketball, overalls, and all these things that this woman couldn't identify with 13 years ago. And 3 weeks after the channeling, she found a photograph of her son's second birthday dressed in overalls with a Dumbo elephant, a basketball, and a red wagon or something, whatever else that came up. And she sent me the photograph to put in the book to prove that what I channeled was the photograph that her son wanted her to find.
That's amazing.
It's stuff like that. So when I do get them, it's quality, it's detailed, it's sensitive. And the beauty that I love is that I get to communicate with somebody on the other side and cross that dimension to give somebody comfort and closure. And a lot of the grief and the guilt and the shame and the longing seems to lessen when you find out that your loved one is still around us. They're just in spirit. Like, your dad could be sitting in the studio that you're remodeling right now. He's probably there with you as your mom is.
He wanted me to be a dentist.
I think my dad still wants me to be an epidemiologist.
We don't have time to take any calls for the rest of this half hour, but we'll take more. But do tell us about your website, Linda, and what people can expect when they get to it.
LindaSalvin.com. Products such as the Wicks of Wisdom, services, email readings, personal readings, how to book them. My streaming old shows from my radio shows are online. Background history, publications, education, everything they want to know is right there.
Well, I love
it. That's about who I am, LindaSalvin.com.
And again, that toll-free number?
888-509-1077.
Linda, you've been doing this now for how many years?
20.
20 years.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, it injured Edgar Cayce when he'd go into his trance state. Has it helped or hurt you physically?
Okay. Here's another part of my story, George. After I had my surgery in 91 and I started healing people, and like I said earlier in the show, I would take people's hands and pull negative energy out of them, right? But what I didn't understand, because I didn't know what I was doing, I would put it back in my own body. So in 1996, I had surgery and had over 100 tumors removed from my hips and thighs, which were lipomas with its own blood supply. But one day I realized that the scar tissue was like in the
hold on for a second, Linda. Hold on. We'll come back and finish that. Linda Salvin with us. Linda, I don't believe in coincidences, but I do believe in synchronicity. Big difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you asked me about Edgar Cayce, who was the sleeping prophet, and how he got hurt. I'll go back to that in a moment.
Yeah.
I want to pick up where you left off. But synchronicity, it's like Dr. Carl Jung, after studying with Freud, was really the father of metaphysics in modern time. And one day he was on a train along the coast and watched the dolphins jump. And he realized that they go in sync. And he started watching the planet and how everything started to go in sync when it was in the flow, because the flow is the synchronicity of events. I want to share something. At the beginning of the show, when you were kind enough to let me say happy birthday to my father coming up on 85 years, my mom had cancer 5.5 years ago, and I was at a radio event in March of 2009, and that Sunday I went to visit my parents. Monday No, after I got back from visiting my parents, my neighbor came over, knocked on the door and said, Linda, there's a bird on our wall and it's for you. I said, what do you mean there's a bird for me? I go over and this gorgeous lovebird is sitting on this, is perched on the wall of the house down the street. So we capture this lovebird of gold and indigo and green and red and all the different colors. And we go over to the bird store. They said it's a Fisher lovebird. My neighbor named it Rainbow, and I inherited this bird named Rainbow. On Wednesday, I went to visit my mom. I said, Mom, I got a new bird. She said, what's its name? I said, Rainbow. And she goes, Rainbow? I said, yeah, why? She said, well, that's the alarm system code name on the house. And I said, Rainbow? And she died the next day.
Wow.
Why would a bird go to my neighbor, have them come to me, pick up the bird, because they knew I was spiritual, I'd probably like the bird, name it Rainbow, code name, death. That's synchronicity. That's metaphysics. I try, as painful as it was to lose my mother, I'm not denying that, but I have this bird named Rainbow now 5.5 years, and I got him a her. But why? How? Is it odd or is it God? Which comes first? You know, that's how I look at things, like there's a reason. That's synchronicity. Who would know that I inherit a bird and my mom dies at the same time?
Exactly. And my mother always used to say when a bird enters a house, it could be a death.
Really?
Yep. That's what she believes.
That's, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's a very old country custom. Let's go
from
to
Michigan.
Yep. And so, and let me ask you this and we'll go to the calls.
Yeah.
So this killed Edgar Cayce.
I've been told not to do more than 5 readings a day or even 3 because it can give you a heart attack. And I knew somebody that had 5 heart attacks in a 3-day period.
Jeez.
We were talking about Evelyn Piglini, Dr. Piglini earlier, and you were asking about Edgar. And the way I became a trans medium, when I started channeling, I had healed so many people. I was putting all the energy back into my body. I would always slap my thighs and just wipe my hands like all of us do. But one day I had about 100 tumors removed from my hips and thighs in 1996, and I had a client come and he asked about his wife who was deceased. I said, I don't do that. And all of a sudden I started looking like her, talking like her, and communicating her. And I called Evelyn back then in 96. So what just happened? She goes, you just broke into becoming a trans medium. But all that happened after I had the tumors removed. So the psychic stuff from the accidents, the healing from the surgery, and then more surgery, I became a medium. I didn't go looking for all this stuff. It found me. So yes, it makes me ill because I was taking negative energy and putting it in my body. It turned into tumors, had them removed, and all this happened. The other side of the coin is I help a lot of people, but I have to go easy as to how many times a day, because I pull so much, it can be damaging to my heart, it can be damaging to my blood, my kidneys, everything. It's because I'm taking on other people's energy as well. And I know, like at commercial, I looked, I've got many, many phone calls. I want your listeners to know I will get back to everybody, but it's going to take time. And that people need to be patient, and they'll all get their appointments. And there's only so much I can do as one psychic or healer or medium without draining or hurting myself. And people just have to be patient. But it did kill Edgar Cayce. He was the sleeping prophet. He is an amazing prophet. And I don't claim to be a prophetess, although I've been called one by a rabbi. And as far as Edgar Cayce, I have a photograph of Edgar, his wife, and his son from the 40s, because one of the women I used to read for many years ago off the radio was his photographer in the 40s.
Small world. Let's take some final calls here for you.
Thanks.
We'll go to David in Nashville, Tennessee, here on the Wild Card Line. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Miss Linda, I just had a quick question because I'm on my own spiritual journey, and I've been drawn to the ancient Egyptian Kemetic teachings and teachings of metaphysics, and I just wanted to know your opinion on, is the soul a temporary resident of this planet, and is our body just a shell to harbor the soul?
The body is the temple to the soul. The soul can come and go many times depending on its journey and lessons, and we can reincarnate in different families in different forms, whether male, female, as I said earlier in the show. The soul keeps coming and going until it learns certain lessons. I believe that Earth is kind of like the hell, and we come back time and time again to get it right, And then we ascend, just like when Steve Jobs was dying, he said, wow, wow, he saw the light, even though he was very odd when it came to how he saw things. It's the same thing with you. If you're drawn to Egyptian energy, which is old spiritual energy, and you probably like things about the pyramids or the clothing or maybe incense holders, I don't know, you probably had past lives in Egypt and in the Mideast, and that part of your soul has memory, and you're being drawn to it to learn lessons in this lifetime to improve yourself as a human being.
Thanks,
Steve. So go for it.
Yep. Hope that helps. What do you see as the single most important thing a human being can do, Linda?
Love. Love. We need to learn to love ourselves, and we need to learn to love others and make the planet more loving, and everything else will flow if we get out of the negativity and the anger and the criticism and all the schmutz that we go through.
There's a lot of bitterness, though, on this planet.
It's becoming worse because of the state of affairs financially, the anger that's coming up with political figures going so materialistic or not being in balance, and it's all about power and control as opposed to harmony and love and compassion. And it's like in the Lord's Prayer, it'll say, like, as in heaven on earth as in heaven, the planet's trying to become more balanced, but then there's that negative part that keeps weighing us down, and our part as humans in this generation and moving forward on the spiritual plane is to ascend and bring in the love, to bring in the balance, to bring in the harmony, and really try to make it work.
If you were an extraterrestrial looking down on this planet, what would you what would you think of us?
I'd say they need a lot of help.
Yeah.
They need a lot of help. Well, it's like, do I really want to go visit there? I think that's why they come to visit. They're trying to figure us out. Like, where do we begin?
Sarah is in Ashland, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, hi. Linda. Hi,
hi Sarah.
George. I am having a problem that I need some help with. I have a new friend that came into my life. It's just a friend. It's a female friend. And I've known her for about 2.5 months, and she's helped me with a lot of things. I've helped her with a lot of things, but I'm noticing that it's becoming
More about her, and it's imbalanced. It's all about her, and I feel like she's bringing you down more than helping you.
Yeah. Is this something? She does have an illness, and I feel guilty. I feel like she's fragile.
But you don't have to feel guilty. She's not your problem. She wants you to feel guilty, or she's trying to make you become more codependent, or you may have a codependent thing where you feel like you have to fix her or whatever. If you don't feel comfortable or she's starting to make you feel down, you get to excuse yourself and walk away, or you get to take a break, or you don't have to be just friends with her. You need to balance again. This is what we've been talking about. It's a little too overwhelming. You're spending too much time. Call me off there. I'd be glad to help you with it.
Okay. Thank you.
You do know your stuff there, Miss Selden.
I've been doing it a long time. I just cut to the chase. But, yeah, I just felt like this one was bringing her down. I feel like I got an image psychically like of a weight, you know, being like a buoy, but a weight going down to the ocean. And here the woman was here in Oregon, and she's sitting in a chair, but something's pulling her down. And I felt the weight of this woman's energy immediately around her before she said it.
Do you ever feel demonic forces against you?
I have had some, especially when I was going through the production of my infomercial back in the mid-2000s. I really felt that that whole thing had been cursed, and I had never really felt demonic energy before, but no matter where I turned, I felt like I was trapped. Not to the point where some people explain where they've actually seen like little demons running around or little black energies or balls, whatever, because I've seen orbs, I've seen the light, but I've never seen the dark ones. I think I have felt in the psychic attacks, but not so much demonic where I was scared. I've been on a ghost hunt where I heard the ghost rumbling through the house, and that was scary. But demonic is a little bit too far to the right for me. Yeah, it's a little too much on my end. I wouldn't go so far as saying demonic.
We've got Brian in Indianapolis now joining us. Hi, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, what a good show to get through on. Hey, Linda, my wife believes in reincarnation, and she calls me a newbie. But here's my question. Here's my question. I was raised Baptist in the Baptist church, born-again Christians. When you die, you go to heaven, and if you're born-again Christian, when these people come back to you, do they come back from heaven and then go back to heaven, or how does that work?
You know what? I don't believe in heaven, and I'm going to tell you why. I believe that there's some place we go, but if heaven is so many light years away in this up in the sky, right, how is it that I'm able to communicate with the spirit? If all the spirits go to heaven, why do I hear them and why do I bring them in? Because I think heaven is a state of mind, and it's more of a place to know that we're going. I don't know if it's – I mean, heaven could be 5 feet away from you.
Right. I don't know. Hey, and I got one more thing.
Sure.
I'm involved in a project here in Indianapolis with a group of men, and I just want to see – I want to ask you if you feel good or bad about it, or if it's going to turn out all right, or if we're going to succeed or fail or what.
There's success after November.
Right on.
All right. Good luck to you. Be a great Christmas present, won't it? Angelina is now in Seattle, first-time caller. Hey, go ahead, Angelina.
Oh, it's a real honor to meet you and talk to you, first-time caller, and thank you.
Sure.
I'm kind of heartbroken about Dr. Evelyn Paglini. It was just a really sad thing. She helped a lot of people, and so my question is for Linda. Good evening, Linda.
Hi.
Concerning my mom, I kind of changed my question. I know my mom passed away. She had a brain aneurysm suddenly, and I've been dealing with some really I believe past life issues, really heavy stuff. So I'm wondering, I feel kind of stuck right now, and I'm wondering.
Is a lot of it the guilt and missing her and grieving and confusion of all the different emotions now that she's gone? You're seeing yourself in a different way and certain things you didn't say or do around her and how you want to correct everything now?
Yeah, and there's also a friend, his name is James, and it's interesting. His wife is kind of like my father. Is there something karmically that I'm going through with him?
You're asking too many questions. You're confusing me because first you wanted to know about your mom. Now we're on to some guy and his wife. So let's stick to your mom. And karmically, there's always a reason why people come into your life for however long they're there, if it's there for 25 years or 25 minutes. Okay. And you would be the one to answer the question karmically. If there's lessons to be learned and there's feelings to feel and obstacles to achieve with these people, yes, it's karmic. With your mom, you're just learning to grow into yourself, and you're realizing how much about your mom is so much like yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck to you, too. Good luck. Any further information, you can call Linda at 1-888-509-1077. And you can get that number, too, from her website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. How would you rate your accuracy? What percent?
I hate answering that, but I do come in at about 95, 98%.
That's amazing.
I think so, and I'm not being egotistical. I had a testimony on Facebook just a few weeks ago where a woman had said that she came to me in December. Things I said to her about certain situations in her love life and career didn't make sense. 3 months later, it all happened. So it happens. Just got to be patient. I have a true gift because I believe with the experiences with the other side, I'm definitely connected to real spirit.
Let's go to Dana now, Grand Rapids, with her question and thoughts. Go ahead, Dana.
Hi.
Hi.
George, I just wanted to say something to you. When I was little, my mom told me that thing about the bird entering the house.
Same thing,
and
right?
And even though I've lived in Michigan my whole life, it's not a Michigan thing. It's an old wives' tale. It's a very ominous sign. Well, whether that happens or not, I don't know. Linda, I have a very interesting question for you, but I just wanted to say, I wish you wouldn't have just made that statement that you don't believe in heaven, because there's been too many.
It's more of the figure of, I can't say that there's a heaven or a hell. I just know that there's another place that we go. But, I mean, if there's heaven, which is supposed to be up in the sky, how can I communicate with loved ones?
No, no. Okay, and I get that part because there's been so many accounts of people, written books and testimonials that they went one place or the other. And
I've seen it. I know that it's there. I just don't know where it is.
Okay. I misunderstood. I'm sorry. My question to you is, George does a lot of extraterrestrial guests and shows.
Right.
Why do you, it's kind of a two-parter. Why do you think that people have no problem accepting life on other planets? And I'm not doubting that they had an experience. All I'm saying is, why are they so quick to accept something like that, but not the one true God? So then I did a quick research online in 2000, almost 97% or 98% of United States citizens believe that there was a God, the, you know, God that we think of as God,
right,
you know, like a Christian God.
What's the question?
And then in five years later, it fell to 89%. So my thing is it because the question, I guess, is do these people think that they have so much more time to do what they need to do? Because so many people, they don't go to church.
I think to answer your question, people are losing faith. Just as George was saying, as you know, we know the state of affairs on the planet is getting worse. The anxiety is getting higher. The traumas are getting greater. The negativity is increasing with what's going on out there. There's a lot of beauty on the planet, from hummingbirds and butterflies and oceans and art and all that. But there's a big mess out there, and it gets worse. It's not getting better. I think people are losing their faith. So if they think that all this is happening and it's God's fault, right, that they're not going to believe as much in the political system or the ecological system or the family system or whatever. So they're losing faith. And so how can they believe that there's a good God if all this negativity is happening? But it's still a point of view.
I wonder what most young people think about God. I bet it's less than during our days.
I think it is less. And you know what's become God or cell phones?
I was just going to say that. Social networks.
I knew that.
Has replaced it. Hey, Linda, we are out of time, but thank you so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me back, George. Anytime. I've really enjoyed it. God bless.
Up next, Mysteries of Alien Technology with Marshall Klarfeld, right here on Coast to Coast AM.